Warning! What you are about to hear is guaranteed to move you out of your comfort zone towards higher ground. You have just one attempt at life. Live it on purpose, not by accident. For a person to be without complete and accurate knowledge is not good. Therefore, you are invited as you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, and presenter, Success Power, Reverend Sam Adeyemi.
Effective planning. We discussed on that the last time, and I want us to go into some more practical details this time around. Planning is the key to success. Remember Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 from the Living Bible. Proverbs 24, verses 3 and 4 from the Living Bible. Every enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Every enterprise is built by wise planning, becomes strong through common sense, and profits wonderfully by keeping abreast of the facts. Wise planning. In Luke 14:28, Jesus said, "Which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost?" That's what they do. For any sound building, any serious building around, there's got to be a blueprint. There's got to be planning. There's got to be calculations. There's got to be placement of doors and windows and whatever. The architect has to work, structural engineer, mechanical engineer, electrical engineer, that has, and the quantity surveyor. All of that has to go on before you start construction at all. Jesus said, if you want to live any meaningful life, you have to sit down first. And when he says first, that means that's the priority. When I was in school, if you failed an examination, you wrote the paper again. And they call that a receipt. You had to receipt. Amen. Which meant that you didn't sit down well the first time. Okay? Sit down again. Sit down. You didn't sit properly. You know, most students fail examinations not because they are not intelligent, but because they don't plan. No plan. No definite plan. No specific goals of the grades to get. Most students only wake up to the reality of their low grade point averages in their final year. And everybody knows that by the final year, it's too late to decide to get a first class. If you will get a first class, you have to start from the first year. That's how it works. No planning. You have to sit down first. That's why I'm bringing this message to us now. I feel that strong impression in my heart that the next year is the best. It's going to be the best we've ever had. It's going to be the most productive we've ever had. That's very important. Enough of spiritual gimmicks. I have tried many of them. They don't work. I've carried out, I experiment a lot. I want to know what works. Common sense tells you, you should find what works and work on that. Find what works and work on that. I have tried many things that did not work. In fact, I should confess to you that I have tried more things that did not work than the ones that worked. It's just that the world only recognizes you for the ones that worked. Amen. But I can help to prevent you from wasting time in carrying out unnecessary experiments. Spiritual gimmicks. I was in school, an engineering student. My first semester, I failed mathematics. I scored 29%. And I tried to handle it the way most Christians do. The second semester, I prayed. I did prayer and fasting. I prayed and I fasted. When the result came out, I scored 28. The prayer and fasting took 1% away. from the whole thing. Am I saying that prayer and fasting doesn't work? Far from that. I'm just saying that you can't use spiritual gimmicks to break God's rules and expect accurate results. Now, the following semester, what did I do again? I fasted and prayed more. God had mercy on me. I scored 29%. I guess God just said, yeah, this boy who is punishing, give him his 1% back. Okay. All I needed to do was to sit down and calculate how, because my failing that course did not mean that I was dumb. I was sharp. It just meant that I didn't know some things. I had to work closely with the guys who understood it. We were sitting in the same class. Some people scored A, you scored F. So why don't you ask the people who know it? I had to get close to the lecturer, ask him questions. Hey, it was better to deal with it before the examination hall. And I did. And just a change of tactics. My score was so strong, the fourth semester, it cleared all my backlog. Okay? So, enough of spiritual gimmicks. Amen? If your current approach is not working, change style. Zig Ziglar said, for us to do things the way we have always done them and to expect different results is one of the definitions of insanity. It's one of the definitions of madness. You did it that way the first time. You failed. You did it again. It failed. You did it again. But that's what Christians, they just... We discussed the last time from Luke 15, the prodigal son. And from that story, we saw that you can plan your way out of poverty into prosperity. You can plan your way out of failure. You can plan your way out of marital stress if you will sit down to think. Amen. In Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, he said, write the vision. Make it plain upon the tables that he may run that reads it. The realization of every goal or dream is in planning. Sitting down to plan. In 1948, they carried out a survey on all the students in the graduating class at Yale University in the United States. They found out only 3% of them had clear ideas of where they wanted to go in life and had written them down in details and strategized how to get there. Only 3%. Another 10% had some vague ideas of what they wanted to become in their minds, but they didn't write them down. They didn't take time to plan in detail. The other 87% were just assuming that things would be okay after graduation. 25 years later, 1973, they contacted all of them and found out that without fail, they had broken into those segments. The first 3% who had detailed plans had accomplished between 50 to 100 times more than the 10% that had plans but didn't write them down. We're not talking of the other 87%. We're talking about the difference between the 3% that sit down to do detailed planning. So what the Holy Spirit is asking us to do this year is not just to write goals. It's to break those goals down in details. To have a roadmap, clear one. So, it's been established that the 3% who write their goals, and they found out that statistic is true all over the world. 3% write their goals down in details. Another 10% have some ideas of some goals. They don't write anything down in details. The remaining 87% drift through life, just taking whatever comes along the way. So, the difference between the 3% that write and the 10% that don't write, between 50 to 100 times more. This church is about raising role models. We are out to raise the 3%. I said we are for the 3%. We don't have... We are sent to raise the 3%. Nobody can stay here. If you make the mistake of coming here, you have succeeded by mistake. Amen. So some of the people in the 87% find themselves in prison. And then they now ask themselves, what am I doing here? What are you not doing there? Most of the people in prison are there because they did not decide to go anywhere else. So life carried them there. Since you didn't plan to be anywhere else and you are now there, enjoy this day. I could not have been in prison now. Why? I planned where I was supposed to be, and it is here. If I was in prison now, it would be for persecution for the gospel, and that would be okay. But that I was arrested for stabbing somebody with a knife, there's no room for that. I stabbed the devil with the sword of the spirit. That's the only one accommodated within my plan and goals. Other than that, I'm winning souls, giving people powerful messages, helping to make people's lives better. Those are the things in my goal. I can't even have time to stab anybody. On Monday, I was in the studio. I recorded 40 radio broadcasts on Monday. We can't finish that and be stabbing anybody. There's no strength to stab anybody again. I've been stabbing poverty and failure out of people's lives. That's enough. On Thursday, I was back in the studio. I did 30 broadcasts. Straight in the studio. Okay, so I had organized where I was supposed to be. There is no pilot that is allowed to take off with an aircraft at the airport without a flight plan. The control tower will not clear the person to take that aircraft off, or else you have a disaster going somewhere to happen. You must submit a flight plan which they will sign and stamp. You keep a copy, they keep a copy there. And you must state on your course. So that's why most people in life are not high flyers. Heaven can't clear them to fly high. There's no flight plan. And a pilot and an aircraft in the air without a flight plan is a dangerous experiment going somewhere to happen. The person will not only disturb himself, he will disturb everybody else who is flying. That's why they should keep him on ground. Those who have flight plans can fly high. I see you flying high next year. I see heaven clearing you to fly higher than you have ever flown in your life before. If you believe that, say a powerful amen. Amen. Steps to planning. Because it's the practical thing I want us to discuss here. Well, you just take this down very quickly. Before I do the steps, there's something we call ABC of goals. ABC, just simple truths. ABC of goals. ABC of goals. A, achievable. Your goal must be achievable. Your goals must be achievable. Realistic, that's what I mean. Realistic, achievable. Achievable. There's no point in you planning to go to the moon next year. Keep yourself on the ground. There are more important things to achieve around here. Amen. Achievable. Okay. B. Believable. Believable. The goals must be believable. I mean that, listen, you should not set goals that are so low that they don't even move you. No. Set goals that will make blood to run in your veins. Something that will challenge you, excite you. But don't set those goals to be so large or so big that they will not overwhelm you. You yourself, you are discouraged just looking at it. You can't figure out how it will happen. There's a big doubt that has come up in your heart and mind. Spiritual principles don't work that way. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So it's got to be believable. And then thirdly, it must be concrete. That's what C stands for. Concrete, solid goals. Concrete and solid goals. I hope you are taking this down. It's the key to explosion next year. Listen, this is the message that the body of Christ will be talking about here in Nigeria now. The syllabus has changed. Some people are still writing this year's exam with the syllabus of last year. Those days are over. Every problem you want to solve, Oluwa, Oluwa, Jo, Oluwa, Oluwa, Shegun is not helping himself. Okay? By now, we should understand that. I have watched with a burden in my heart people in church who have prayed and fasted. They have given tithe and offering. 5 years, their situations have not changed. Why? Ephesians 3:20. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you may ask or what? Think. We focused on the asking part. We left the thinking. As he thinketh in his heart, so is he. All we are focused on is killing our enemies. Enemy. enemy, in the name of Jesus, they will not catch me. In the name of Jesus, I create a coffin for my enemy. I like that illustration. Create a coffin for my enemy. I push my enemy into the coffin. I nail the coffin in the name of Jesus. When you have killed all your enemies and you still don't have a plan, you are not going anywhere. As he thinketh, not as his enemy thinketh for him, as he thinketh in his heart. You remember what I've always said? If the witch inside you can't kill you, the one in your village won't catch you. Handle the one inside first. There's a witch inside. Handle that witch. This is where it is. Oluwa, Oluwa, for confirm, it's okay. Somebody said he had somebody praying like that. That God should use a rope to pull him. Or is he rope they use now? Where simple principles like this are in the Bible. And people who don't even speak in tongues have used them. They produce powerful things on ground. It's not rope. They have put the steps there before you can climb as fast as you want to go. Amen. Please, let's go. Steps to planning. Number one, set a definite goal. Set a definite goal. Nothing becomes dynamic until it becomes specific. Be very specific. Be very specific. You're setting a goal with respect to your finances. Write the amount of money. Be specific. It's very important. Set a definite goal. Be very definite. We'll still come to the different areas in which you set goals later. Set a definite goal. Secondly, decide on a deadline. Decide on a deadline. When will it be achieved? Even when you are fixing the goals for next year, fix deadlines for each item. Be very definite. You want a car, specify the kind of car, specify the color. Amen. And all the options that you want. Leather seats, alloy wheels, specify. Amen. Good. Be very definite and then set a deadline. I want that Jaguar by 30th of April, 2002. Amen. Set a definite deadline. In our book, Ideas Rule the World, I share the testimony of one Dr. Frank Gonzalez in the United States, in the state of Illinois. He wanted to build a school. He didn't like what was going on in the educational system. And he was a reverend minister. For 2 years, the man was saying, if I had $1 million, I would build a school. If I had $1 million. One day like that, I think it was a Friday, he said, the Holy Spirit just spoke to his heart. When will you get the $1 million? You've been saying this for 2 years. When will you get it and do what you want to do? He said, immediately just made up his mind. I'll get $1 million in the next 1 week. As soon as he made that deadline, his brain opened up. He had an idea. In fact, to preach a sermon on Sunday in the church, titled, What I Would Do If I Had $1 Million. So he sent a message to the editor of the newspaper in town. Please put the notice there for the Sunday paper. Dr. Frank Gonzalez preaching in his church. What I would do if I had $1 million. Now Sunday morning, he said he knelt down by his bed, prayed, took off to church. When it was time to preach, he went up the pulpit, reached into his suit pocket to bring out the sermon notes. There was nothing there. In his excitement, he had forgotten the note at home. He said, well, he had been preparing the sermon for the past 2 years in his heart, so there was no problem. He just exploded. What I would do if I had $1 million. As soon as he was through, he sat down on the seat there on the podium. A man stood up from the back with his hat in his hand, walked up to him and said, Reverend, that was a powerful sermon. I believe you will do what you said you will do if you had $1 million. If you don't mind, if you can see me in my office tomorrow, I'll give you a check for $1 million. My name is Philip D. Amo. He got the $1 million on Monday. Everything started moving when he set a deadline. That's important. So give each goal a deadline. Step three, write down your goal. Write down your goal. It's in Habakkuk 2:2. Write the vision. Write down your goal. This generation of ours is blessed. Many generations before us did not know this. And today it's a bit tough for them to catch up with what's going on. This is it. Write down your goal. Step 3. Step 4. Develop a plan to achieve your goal. Develop a plan to achieve your goal. That is where the real job is. Write down a step-by-step process that will take you from where you are to the achievement of this goal. You want ₦1 million? How will you get ₦1 million? You can get ₦1 million from what you are doing. If you are doing something currently, if you are selling something, you can get, all it needs is strategy. You're selling chairs. Each one is ₦2,000. You need to sell 500 of them to get ₦1 million in sales. That's all. That's what planning is all about. Now sit down and calculate it. Sit down and calculate it. Plan your way. Develop a plan to achieve your goal. The next one, step 5, determine what you will give in exchange for achieving your goal. Determine what you will give in exchange. That's also a very powerful point. Determine what you will give in exchange. It's very, very important. You won't get something for nothing. Settle that once and for all. You won't get something for nothing. We have found spirituality as an excuse for asking God to break his rules to bless us. Life responds to value, not to status and not to tears. Life responds to value. What you get depends on what you give out. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But sowing must come before reaping. What will you give out? Whatsoever ye would, Matthew 7:12, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even likewise to them. You want ₦1 million, you have to give ₦1 million worth of value out. It's common sense. And it doesn't break scriptures. Think about it. I watched people for a long time. That's why I had to find these things out for myself. I watched people for a long time asking God for handouts. If you get something for nothing, you're a beggar. And there's no way you can become very rich on that. It's not possible. It's not possible. It's the giver that is on top. So, you want ₦1 million? Out in the office. My personal goals for decades to come are in my diary. For every year, the first 5 pages are detailed writings of my goals. Lifetime goals, this year's goals, there. I have goals in the bedroom on the wall. Okay, keep the goal before you every day. It's important. In fact, let me share a secret with you. You get to a point where you don't even have to look at that thing. Your spirit will see it every day. Just keep it there. That's all. And as long as it's there uppermost on your heart, it will come into reality. And then let's tie it up with this. Success for us in Daystar Christian Center is with a balance. Because once we talk about success and goal setting and all of that, the only thing some people think about is money. But for us, success comes with a balance. In Luke chapter 2, verse 52, we have a testimony about Jesus. Luke 2:52. The Bible says that he waxed strong in stature and in spirit. In wisdom and in stature. They said he waxed strong in wisdom and in stature and was in favor with God and with men. And those describe 4 areas of his life. He increased or waxed strong in wisdom, talks about his mental ability. So I will ask that you set career goals. Please put those down. I want to list the different areas where we should set our goals. Career goals. He works strong in wisdom. Career goals. Or mental goals. From what I have been saying, it should be obvious by now that it will be difficult for you to earn more money than you are earning except you increase your skill and expertise. Spirituality is no excuse for mediocrity. You can't be making your chairs this year the way you made them last year and expect someone to rush your chairs. That's important. The chair is wobbly. One leg is not touching the ground. You are speaking in tongues, killing all your enemies, and binding the devil that I should come there. I can't put down my money for something that will not satisfy me. So, the way God designed this life, each day is supposed to add to us value. That's why meditation in the Word is supposed to be a daily affair. Each day should add value. So when you set your career or mental goals, which courses will you take next year to increase your expertise? How many books will you read? They need to be written down. My own goal is at least one book per week. I want to do 52, at least, minimum in a year. Okay, you may make it one book per month. For many people in this country, especially who are graduates, the last time they read anything serious about their career was before they graduated. Since then, they've been reading, the only thing they've been reading are Papa Jasko, Ikebe Super, the Soft Cell magazines. Those ones may accept, Encomium. They are reading Encomium and nobody's giving them any Encomiums, you know, because who will pay you, you know? What have you achieved with that? Read whatever you want to read, but you've got to read things that will add to your skill and your expertise. It's very important. Read books. Listen to tapes while you are in traffic. Use a Walkman if you are in a public bus. But keep adding on a daily basis. Very, very important. Proverbs chapter 1 verse 5. So, set career or mental goals. Then they said that he also increased in stature. That talks about the health. Set health goals for next year. Don't take your health for granted. Set health goals for next year. We've been so busy struggling to fight poverty around here, we've not taken note of some important things. And your health is important. If something goes wrong with it, every other thing will fizzle out. So it's good. Prevention is better. It's the best cure, actually, in medicine. Good. How many times will you take your medical test next year? Doctors recommend twice. I do twice a year. How many times will you take a medical, even if it's once? It's good. What else? Fitness. How will you maintain fitness? How will you keep fit? And then if you need to lose some weight, how many kilograms will you lose? And how? Amen. Some of us need to add. Some need to donate theirs. Okay? And it won't come just by wishing. You know, there are certain things you are eating, you must stop eating. Substitute them. Write that down. It's a goal. Next year, I'll stop drinking Coke. You've been drinking 5 bottles a day this year. The sugar level is not good for the body. Okay, so say good. No Coke, 2002. No Coke. Only Zobo. Then they said that Jesus was in favor with God. That talked about his spiritual life. Set goals for your spiritual life. You don't take it for granted. Set goals for your spiritual life. Your relationship with God. How many minutes will you spend in prayer every day? How many minutes will you spend in prayer every day? The quiet time is non-negotiable. Non-negotiable in the morning. And then, how many chapters of the Bible will you read? This one of reading the Bible only once a week. It can't work. In his law does he meditate day and night. How many chapters? My goal every year is to read the Bible through Genesis to Revelation. And I start January 1st. And I calculated it. I read an average of 5 chapters of the Bible a day. Sometimes I do more in order to catch up with time. I finished my schedule October this year. I finished since October, Book of Revelation. Started from Genesis. I've been doing revision since. And I'm waiting for the 1st of January, kickoff. Okay, set your goals. That's tied to the fulfillment of your destiny. And then, what will be your contribution to God's house? How many souls will you bring to the house of God next year? We have helped everybody to work it out, and we have suggested 2. If you invite at least 1 person to Daystar, 1 unbeliever to Daystar, just 1 person a month next year, at least 2 of them would have stayed here before the end of the year. Your goals will be achieved. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What will belong to God in all of your goals? It's important. Your spiritual life, And then they said Jesus was also in favor with men. That talks about your social life. Your social life, starting with your family. There should be specific goals. Specific goals. The family altar, specific goals. The children's education, specific goals. Or you want to get a baby, specific goals. You want to marry, specific goals. Write it down, it's important. Write it down. You're married, you're a man. How many times will you take your wife out? You need to tantalize her. So how many times will you tantalize her? Tantalizers has to give me some free rations for this advertisement, you understand? This is free advert. How many times will you take the kids out? That's important. Set goals for your family. And I'll suggest that you should take a vacation next year. Especially if you're a working class adult, take a vacation. Amen. And you have only one life to live. Success is not a destination, it's a journey. So enjoy where you are on the way to where you are going. This walking and walking and walking and not taking a break. One day, when my breakthrough comes, when the breakthrough comes, you'll be so used to walking, you won't know how to enjoy yourself. So enjoy the journey. Enjoy the trip. And then finally, financial goals. Set your financial goals. Set your financial goals. Set your financial goals. Wow. Set your financial goals. You've got to have a budget. That's what I'm talking about. Have a personal budget. And the budget is not only about expenditure. It begins with the income. Okay. So how much money will you make next year? Write that down. And then how will it go? You have to list your expenditure under specific headings. Tithes first. Offerings. Kingdom investment. That's what I call it. What will you invest, especially in God's house? Housekeeping. Rent. Fuel or transportation. It's good to specify all of that. You see, it's such detailed planning that has helped us here. Order is the mother of increase. This whole church runs on budgets. We started that from the first year. Our budget for this year was the most detailed we had produced. But this is the year we've experienced the greatest explosion financially. Detailed and strict adherence to the budget. By the end of April, our income was already more than the total income for last year. Because it works. It works. So, specify every single item. How much you spend on books, what you will give, specify. And if you're a married man, my suggestion, fix an allowance for your wife for being your assistant managing director at home. Amen. Only the ladies are excited. Those guys are frowning at me, man. What are you talking about? But you see, there's a measure of favor tied to your wife. Because Proverbs 18:22 says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. And you have, the earlier you just accept this fact, the better. They are created for enjoyment. We are designed to make the money. The ladies are clapping. The guys are frowning, man. You can't be stingy with your wife and expect some powerful breakthroughs here and there. There's some blessings attached to them. The measures of favor. So bless your wife. Have a budget for your wife. Have a budget for your children. That's important. Now, with respect to kingdom investment, let me quickly say this. I was asking God how we'd go about our building projects. I was reading through scriptures, and I saw how it was in the days of Moses and the building of the tabernacle. And I saw that once they took off on the project did not stop until they finished. And I believe God, I have a vision for that in my heart. This task project will not stop for one day. Amen. Once we start them, they will run to completion. Amen. So when I saw that the people were bringing things every day, So the Holy Spirit said, I should share this with everybody so we can make that part of our plans. Check your weight, your capability, and fix an amount of money that you can afford daily throughout next year to invest in our building project. Daily. Daily. Most people wait until they have some big amount of money. And then eventually they don't do anything. Okay? Daily. But the Holy Spirit says to me that for most people, what they will be given by the end of the year will be much more than what they will start with at the beginning of the year. I believe so. I believe so. Those, if I want to recommend, those who want to be in the billionaire class like myself should be able to afford 2,000 naira or more daily. Some can do 1,000, some 500, some 100, some 50, 20, whatever it is. But kick off from the 1st of January. I plan to pay mine upfront every Sunday for the week. And even if it's 1 naira per day, that's 365 naira in the whole year. The only thing is between you and God. You should be sure what you are giving is not mockery of your status. Ah, amen. Not such that they will now invite you to a meeting in heaven and say, Oga, check the balance now. We bless you more than this. Excuse me, help me to reduce the man's flow. That will not be our portion. Amen. It is plans that separate achievers from ordinary dreamers. Plans. The next 365 days, if you failed anywhere this year, you will succeed with outstanding success there next year. Yeah. What you were trying to push that refused to move this year, in the new year, it will move. Yeah. Whatever died around you is coming back to life again. Yeah. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And those things that you are writing down, as you are writing, heaven will supply wisdom to you. Heaven will supply visions to you. Heaven will give you new dreams. God will give you direction. Next year is the year when you will not be stuck. You will not be at a loss as for what to do. You will know what to do. You will know the next thing to do to move to the next phase of your breakthrough in the new year. In the next 365 days, what God will do, He will collapse time for you. Yeah. And He will do for most people here in 1 year what you did not achieve in the last 10 years. Yeah. If you believe that with me, say amen. Amen. I see restoration coming. Amen. Everything that belonged to you by destiny until now that you have not gotten, the next 1 year is the season to get it. God has declared it our season of rest. I declare you will find out it will be a year of ease for you. It will be a very peaceful year for you, but it will be the most productive year in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, I command blessing on everyone under the sound of my voice. And I declare, Lord, the days of frustration are over. The days of confusion are over. In the name of Jesus, I prophesy over every home where there is strife and declare the hold of this confusing spirit of strife is over. I prophesy peace in the name of Jesus. Lord, I prophesy over everyone whose spiritual life has been going down, where the light is almost out. By the power of the Spirit of God, receive a revival. In the name of Jesus. Everyone whose spiritual eye has been closed, whose spiritual ear has been blocked, I declare in the name of Jesus, those eyes are open now. Those ears are open now. You will hear from God in the name of Jesus. That last failure was the last one forever. Welcome to a new level of success in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. We're still praying. And I want to pray very quickly for the person in this service who says, Pastor, before God, I cannot deny or pretend my lifestyle is not right with God. My lifestyle is, I'm still.
We know these words have triggered a process of transformation in your life. However, it is not what you hear that counts, but what you do with what you hear. For additional tape copies and a free catalog of other tapes and books, please contact the address on the label of this tape. God bless you.